Good, good. How are you going?
All good, all good. Just waiting. I think we can start off. We're running out of time. So, yeah, so let me just talk about what we want to have a chat on today. It'll be great to have you also more on the conversation. Today I have with me Sahil Chaudhary, who's a first-year aerospace engineering student. And he's part of our first batch of Cosmofluencers. So basically, we've created this bunch of really bright young students who are interested in talking about astronomy and are looking to make their careers also in the field of astronomy, but at the same time, basically getting more and more people interested in the field. So we thought we'll have him on for a conversation on something which he is quite interested in. So just before we start, Sahil, can you just take a minute to introduce yourself?
Yes, sir. Hello there. I am Sahil Chaudhary. I belongs to Maharashtra state from India. I am currently pursuing my BTech in aerospace engineering the institute, Indian Institute of Aerospace Engineering and Information Technology. I am currently 18 years old, and I am space enthusiast from childhood. Like I also write many theories, I study many theories and work on that. I write articles, all the things. I also joined many like certified courses and all. So basically, I am like in this field from childhood. Today, as we know the topic which itself suggests how it all started, like. Basically, from childhood, as we all know, by gazing at stars, by looking up in the sky, like how the first question which arise in our mind was like how the things started, like how this universe has like take birth, how it will end. There were so many questions which will arise in our mind by looking up in the by looking up to that stars. So today, basically, we will be having chat on that particular thing.
Great, Sahil. Actually, looking forward to this chat. It's quite a quite a fascinating topic. The Big Bang, how it all started. We have a lot of pop culture around it, including a very successful TV show. But the concept behind it isn't too old, isn't it? It's not something which was accepted for a very long time in history. So tell us something about what it is.
So basically, sir, as we all know, like there was a like there are many theories for like how the universe, like also how the universe work on what are the principles. Like if you will know that there is one. The young Sheldon, known as the movie, in which he says that like if gravity, like all the things in the universe, like if gravity was slight more powerful, the whole universe will be converted into a ball. If the gravity is slight less powerful, we will fly apart. So basically, in history, like many people were there who thought like how this all the things are working. How these things took place, like we all as a human, we the first thing we think, like the questions, like where we came from, where these things, like how they took birth. We all get these questions. So many scientists work on that. The itself, like how the sun has formed, how Earth basically is like. The life we haven't communicated with any other life. So the basically how this life form, this is the main question which took which lead us to find the like which lead us to the this thing Big Bang, like the experiments which have the theories which have been put forth. There are too many theories, like Big Bang, the stationary universe, like the universe is stable. There are other universes. There are Big Bang occurring in like forming new universes. These are all the questions which lead to the like studying about the these questions lead to the to create this Big Bang theory. These are the main reasons we came into this Big Bang.
Yeah, that's like, true.
This theory. Yeah,
correct. Hi, Uday. By the way, welcome on stage here for this conversation.
So, hey, hi, Sahil. Yeah. Great to see you. Thanks for joining in. Hi, Mo. First of all, the word sir is banned on Mensa. So I don't know. Every time you say sir, what will happen is there'll be a big bang. See, you heard a big bang at the back.
Also, you know, I think we're trying to shed our colonial past. Sir of course, is a vestige of the queen.
You can still call Mo sir.
No, please, no, don't.
Okay, carry on. So, you know, Sahil,
this is my first time with a Cosmofluencer. I think I'm going to hear this term quite a bit. It's got a ring to it.
Cosmofluencer?
Yeah, in fact, this is the first time we are having a Cosmofluencer on stage, actually. So, he's the first of 10 of them who've joined us for this season. So, it's an interesting program we are trying to create. And, you know, it's basically a bunch of people who would want to talk about space to everyone. So he's one of them. So we are hoping to
Sahil,
have
one interesting question. Sahil, one interesting question that I wanted to ask you. I mean, one question. It's up to you to find out if it's interesting or not. Is I mean, when was the first time you kind of read about Big Bang? And for me, from all the things that you know, Big Bang, what is the most funniest thing that you can actually talk about?
Sir, it was around when I was studying in 7th standard. There was a chapter solar system. So I was just going through it. I find the word constellation, right? So this is the true story, how I came into this. So there was a word constellation that got stuck in my mind. What is this? So I tried to talk to my teachers and all the things that they explained me. These are the constellations. Then I the question arised, how they form. The typical question as a child, I'll only think how this form. So I came to home. I talked to my uncle. My uncle was also a space enthusiast. So he answered me, we all came from one point. So I got confused. How it could be possible. So at that time we were not having so much mobile phones and all. But luckily my parents having phone, they gave me. So I searched many things on this topic, Big Bang. So I came to know about the Big Bang. So we all came from one small dot. All the things, huge things we see today, we all came from one dot. And the universe is itself made up of things which we are made up of. So basically, the most fascinating thing I thought I get to know this whole thing, this Big Bang to up to the formation of the stars, happened within a few years, within a second, as we would see after Big Bang, within a 1 second, the things which happen. By studying that, I got shocked. If you will study in deep, what happened in 1 second, how the temperature of universe goes from hot to where, it start going down. This thing fascinated me so much. How this could happen in 1 second.
I mean, that's the thing with astronomy, right? Everything with astronomy is mind-blowing. And it starts with the beginning of time itself.
Yeah. You know, I really connected
great
with...
Great answer your uncle gave you, Great answer your uncle gave you. You go and ask him what about it, and then he says, we all came from a dot. How cool it is.
Very clever. But I really connected with Sahil's, answer. And when he said the word constellation really stuck with him. Because I remember as a kid, people used to tell me, oh, the constellations. I'm like, where do you see a bear in there? Where is the scorpion? You say there's a horse. I don't see it. There's a guy with a sword. Yes. Where? So I would bug my teachers. And I think like the first time I came across the word constellation was probably third or fourth grade. And I would bug teachers and I would bug my mom and I would bug my grandparents whenever I got a chance. No one gave me a straight answer to this. And yes, I honestly couldn't understand what the fuss was all about until this one night. And this was in the middle of Hyderabad. And this was 1996, and there was a massive power outage. And the sky was so clear, you could literally see, you know, Oort clouds. It was that dark.
Wow.
And that's when I kind of saw for the first time, like, oh, okay, I see the Big Dipper. I see the Little Dipper. And thank God for Sesame Street and drilling that image into my head. So Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, and then Orion was no big deal. And then every time I looked overhead, Orion was always there. But of course, you know, like that sparks off that curiosity. Like, how the heck do these things get into these arrangements, right? And like, I really resonate with Sahil over there. That's awesome, man. Good on you.
Yes, sir.
Don't call me sir.
So Sahil, what's
Mo?
Yeah, don't call anyone sir. Sahil. That's been banned.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. Sir.
Yeah. So Sahil, what's next? I mean, we keep talking about the Big Bang and how things happened, and what we are 13.8 billion years since the Big Bang is theorized to have happened, right? And what's next? I mean, it's we know that the universe is expanding at a crazy speed. In fact, that's one thing which is you know, to continue from the point of, you know, blowing your mind, this is something which blew my mind quite recently, actually, when I found out the universe is 46 billion light years in any direction you look at. So which means it's 92 billion light years across, and the entire 92 billion light years expansion happened in 13.8 billion years. So you're talking about an expansion which is six times faster than the speed of light.
Exactly. Like what?
Yes.
So wait. Hang on. I'm going to be like totally crazy and speculative over here, but holy hell, the laws of physics literally and only encompass our universe in that case, right? Because the expanding front is potentially not within our universe. It's in whatever else that the universe is in. And that's, you know, that's where my brain shuts down. Like, I can't deal with it.
It's time to go back to, you know, reading history and wars and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Or time for a drink.
So, Sahil, now that we are talking about expansion, at least, you know, theoretically, what's next? What's happening in the next, you know, million years, a billion years?
Yes, so as we will see, sir, like after the Big Bang, like up to 380 years, the observable universe was not visible. Like, even it was not visible as we see today, like that CMBR, that cosmic microwave background, that was the first light visible to the human eye. That was the first radiation, and from that it is still expanding, as we will see. After about 150 million years after the Big Bang, the nebula, all the things, the primordial clouds with gas and dust, all collected with some gravity within themselves, they form star. Like and that the life cycle of that star begins. But sir, after the star, the presently, for example, if we'll see our star Sun. So it is the nuclear fusion process is still going on in Sun. There are the life cycle, if you will see the life cycle of Sun, one day, within a billion years, the Sun loses all its energy. The Sun will lose all its energy, and it may be converted into black hole or something also a neutron star, proton star, as we all the things we see. So we all know, even the black hole will evaporate one day. It will took around billions of years. So one day all the things will, we also think that the Big Bang might not be the start of the universe, but it could be a end of the earlier universe. So the same thing could happen with our universe too, after a billion years.
Paul, Sahil, Have either of you, or Uday, yes, have either of any of you read any part of A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking?
Yeah. Yes, yes, I have. When I was in like around 9th or 10th, I have read about A Brief History of Time, also heard an audiobook. Like,
right. So in The Brief History of Time, I think like within the first 50 pages or so, there is a diagram, and it's actually three things, and I might be misremembering this, but it's essentially a diagram of what potentially the universe looked like at the time of the Big Bang. And so it's a series of, singularities, and then spontaneously it erupts and creates something, and then potentially it contracts again. Right, but we don't know if that's going to happen yet. Or are we sure about that? I'm a bit confused.
This is the Big Crunch theory, right?
Yeah, Big Crunch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly, right? So that's the question. So are we going to run out of entropy and essentially everything just comes to a stop and then cools down? And then, but then that wouldn't be the self-sustaining model, right?
True, yeah.
Yes.
So would that happen cyclically, actually? That's
exactly, Is it cyclical or is it a one-off thing and then it spontaneously happens again for
In
no
fact,
reason?
At this point, it kind of gets into the realm of science fiction, right? So
exactly.
I don't know whether any of you have read this really, really fantastic short story by Isaac Asimov called The Last Question. And this is, it's definitely my favorite of Asimov's work, and it's saying a lot. And while that doesn't really matter much, it's also Asimov's favorite. In fact, he writes the foreword for that, saying it's his favorite short story. And this is a story which talks of entropy. And I think it's a must read for anyone who's interested in this topic. So I've just put that name there.
You know what that reminded me of?
It's a great read.
If you've Uday, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the restaurant at the edge of the universe.
At the end of the universe.
At the end of the universe.
Nancy's, in fact, I'm waiting for Nancy to finish it. She's in the readers. And the moment Nancy finishes it, it's going to be going up on the book club.
I'd love to join that conversation.
I'm so waiting for that.
You know what, Sahil, one of my favorite one of my favorite books, and I would urge you to read on science, because my favorite writer is Bill Bryson. And you should read his book called A Brief History of Time, right? Not Brief History of Time. A short history of nearly everything. What am I saying? A short history of nearly everything, right? And there is this entire thing about two guys who are young scientists. Their names are Amo Penzias and Robert Wilson. We talked about it earlier in the Big Bang story a couple of weeks on my channel. So this is about 1965. And these guys were actually making large communication antenna for the Bell Laboratories, right, in a place called somewhere in New Jersey. But the problem was, as they were making this antenna, they were always troubled by this persistent background noise, which is like the steady, steamy hiss that came, right? That completely was not making their experiment possible. The noise was undulating, and for over a year, they tried all kinds of things. They fixed the antenna, they polish it, they changed the things. Remember when we were kids, we used to have those antennas where we turned directions. They rebuilt, they checked circuits, they did all kind of stuff, right? Now, exactly 50 kilometers away from this place, in a place called Princeton, there was a very senior scientist called Robert Dick, who was also working. And incidentally, Robert Dick and his entire team were exactly slogging day and night to just hear this sound, which they could not hear. But two young kids, about 50 kilometers away in New Jersey, without any effort, they didn't even understand what they were looking for. They got it right. And as time would pass, one of those days, these two kids actually figured out that let's go and ask this Princeton scientist what is all about. They call up Robert Dick, and Robert Dick just collapses on the floor and tells his team, shit, these guys have beaten us to it. And you know who gets the Nobel Prize for figuring out what the name of Big Bang is? These two young kids who are working for Bell Labs, right? They get the Nobel Prize for it. And Robert Dick, for all the hard work that he's been doing in Princeton, doesn't get anything. And incidentally, Mo, another thing to crack you up, the name Big Bang, incidentally, was actually named not by a scientist, but Georges Lemaître, who was actually a priest somewhere in 1920. So just so much. A priest who believed in God and
creationism
is the one who actually named the name Big Bang.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? From a philosophical perspective as well, if you think about it, even the most hardened scientist, if you were to get them in the right mood and you were to go, well, look, everything is just this perfect balance. Like what Sahil said, right? You know, the gravitational field would be a little bit too much and we would just collapse into this hot ball of nothing. Or yes. If the gravitational field were just a little bit less, we would just cool down into this endless nothing, essentially.
You just fly apart.
So it's all a balance. Yeah. And so, you know, even then you have to wonder, like, why? You know, what does the universe exist in? Because if it's expanding, then there, that implies there's a medium there. And, you know, that's where things really get, like, what the hell? We don't know anything. Right, we're literally this minute little speck. We're a speck on a speck.
Yeah.
Right, it's and like, we're trying like to understand the nature of the universe. That's really life, daring. I love that.
Yeah, and it's like as of all of this, right? Life, philosophy, conscience, everything is just an accident.
It's exactly. I mean, yeah. It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
because
also
said, again, like, no evidence to the contrary. So it's one of those non-falsifiable questions, right? And so. It doesn't belong in the realm of science purely. It does not belong in the realm of theology purely, but somewhere in the gray area lies the truth.
True. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like there are Big Bang still occurring. Like
That's an interesting thing, yeah. Right? You had mentioned it a little earlier also. Like there are Big Bangs happening. Yes. There was a Big Bang which happened. There's one happening now. And, you know, there's constant expansions, constant... You know, Big Bang's happening all the time, and I don't know what the eventuality is, but
you know, I have
a microcosm of something there.
I have a pet theory that at some point, you know, like there was another universe that was expanding, and it just seamlessly slipped into ours, and therefore we've slipped into a parallel universe, my friend. Yep. You know,
no more actually,
yes,
we
yes.
went off the rails at some point.
Go ahead, Simon. Yeah.
It's also in it is related to quantum physics also. There is a one theory of quantum immortality, like we never die, like the actions which we do in our universe, whenever we get two options to do something, we select one option in our universe, but in other universe we select other option,
the opposite. Yeah.
So it also works on like dying. When we die, in other universe, we live. Like we didn't die.
You know,
so it leads to immortality.
Because at the very start of this conversation, a thought came to my mind, and it was fractalism, right? So we say that the quantum forces work on the very very microscopic level. However, we know that, you know, you have these patterns that repeat themselves on the macroscopic and the microscopic level. So there must be a balancing force on the higher level as well, right? And I think I think we need to get like the whole spiritual community on there as well. And the panel size needs to be doubled. But over to you, Paul.
Yeah. Thanks so much. This was a fun conversation. I think we should do a lot more of these. Thanks, Sahil, for coming on. I think this was a really interesting conversation. Let's see if we can do more. Thanks, Uday. Thanks, Mo.
Definitely.
Jumping into the conversation when you speak, you'll never run out of topics to speak on.
That's true.
So coming back.
I could go on for hours.
Thanks.
Yes.
Bye.